travel. We're thankful that we live in a place and time that we can study your word without fear. Please plant the word in our hearts. We pray that we go out and be a light unto the world. And bless Brother Paul as he delivers to us in this day. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We lift up Collier to you also, Lord, that whatever is going on there, that you will, we know you're in the midst of it. We just pray that those around will discern what you have in mind and to touch his heart, Lord, and to pour your love into him and that he receive it, Lord. Heal as healing is needed in physical ways, in emotional ways, spiritual ways, whatever it be for those around him. Lord, when we pray about our lesson today, I pray that it not be an ordinary lesson, not because of the teacher, but because of you.
You don't have any ordinary lessons.
And, no, but sometimes it could be more of me than more of the Lord. And because you really put in my heart, Lord, that this message, lesson today is not just the war number 5, but it's something you have given to your people. And certainly a whole word, but many times we just don't get excited like we should. When we get excited for the moment, then we walk away, Father. So I pray this be to these people as it was to me last evening, Father, as you touched me about the war in heaven and what it's really about. We pray all that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Lord, forgive Roy for...
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't realize you were playing.
I know.
The cardinal sin.
I didn't take it that way.
The cardinal sin.
No, we're not part of the cardinals. We have no cardinals here. There's...
Tell me I'm going to hell.
Some are in St. Louis and some are downtown Phoenix. But the ones in St. Louis are doing better than the ones in Phoenix. All right? Now you know why St. Louis gave up the Cardinal football team.
Yeah.
And they would not give up the baseball team. No, the St. Louis people are more baseball fans than football. Okay, now, how many of you believe everything you read in the Bible?
Yes.
I don't. I set you up.
Yeah, you should.
Now, do you believe that God's intention is true and we should believe that? Okay. Chapters are not divinely inspired, nor are the verse numberings. That was not put in by the Lord. And we know that it wasn't inspired because verses are chopped in half and chapters are chopped up, right?
Right.
Chapters 8 and 9 should not be separated. Chapters in Revelation, and neither should 2 and 3. Simple examples. Now, the footnotes are not divinely inspired. Whether written by John MacArthur or whoever. And if you read the message, that's a false scripture. It was written to prove the theology of certain people. In other words, it was reading into the Bible and then rewriting the Bible to fit what I want it to be. It's a cut and paste kind of a thing, and there are scholars that have shown the fallacy of that. And yet I've been in churches where pastors quote from that. And they quote from people that are apostates today. So I want to show you a couple of things. You already know the one about gold. The Greek and the Hebrew for gold. Matthew 28. Get ready. Get set. Go! Make disciples. That's not what it says. It says as going. As you go about your life. Right? And then we have this great big evangelistic meeting, and we got Bible tracts there, and we're going to hit the neighborhood for the Lord. Okay, get ready, get set, go. Go out that door, and you better bring back a few people for our church. Right? I happened to live in a neighborhood in Tempe that was very near, a couple blocks from a get ready, get set, go church. I had those people at my door all the time, two by two. Not the Mormons, not the Jehovah's Witness, but a Baptist church. And I said to them the first time, and I'll say it again, I already know the Lord. And I shared the gospel with them. Oh, well, that's fine, brother, but, you know, if you want to find another church, you know, we're right over here. I said, no, you're out gathering members. You're not doing the Lord's work. Get out of my property and stay out. The Lord brought me to that church for other reasons, not even knowing it was that church one day. And I faced those people. Very interesting. I experienced legalism, is what I did. Okay, the other is in Genesis, where God speaks to Abraham, and he says, you take that son up there and sacrifice him. Right? Go. Go make sacrifice. No, in the Hebrew it would be, would you go? Now, does that give you a different feeling of God? How many have heard that in the Old Testament, it's a very wrathful God? A very angry, very distant God. But that God in the New Testament, that's the one I want. His name is Jesus. Jesus isn't God. He's a perfect man. Christ is God. Right? Two in one. No, they want the cuddly little Jesus, loving, merciful, and gracious. They don't want to think about his holiness, his righteousness, his justice. No way do they ever want to think of that.
You know what? God was really giving a command to Abraham. You could use what other word you want.
No, it's not a command. That's the point I'm trying to make. No, it's not a command. It's a request.
Okay, request.
Well, there's a difference.
Yeah, okay.
There's a difference. If you've been in the military, most of the time they don't request.
That's right.
Would you pick up your weapon?
Yeah, that's right.
Or pick it up. Do this, do that. No, it's a difference. And I'm trying to point that out because there are other things that are so subtle that we don't realize it. And it helps to interpret whether we believe in the rapture prior to the tribulation. And that's in, turn to Revelation chapter 5. And notice where it's talking about that new song. I'll find the verse where that is. It's a little over halfway through chapter 5. It's where they're singing this new song, and it talks about we and them. Talking about the 24 elders. Somebody want to find that verse?
I think it's verse 9.
Okay, read that.
You are ready to take the scroll and to open its seals. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men to God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.
Right, to make them. Now, do you have anything in the, how many say us? How many have what version says us? Okay, good. You have the correct one. Now, I'm going to show you something. Do you have a footnote saying that according to most ancient manuscripts, it's them? Anybody have that? Okay. Now, David Hawking has software, which we could all get, but I don't want to get into that. But all of the ancient scrolls of remnants of the Bible have been computerized. So that you can search one verse and it'll show you in every manuscript what that verse says. And so he went to the Vulgate type, the Latin type. There are 10,000 available. All 10,000 say us, not them. And the remnants of chapter 5 that has that verse of the other languages, 23 out of 24 say us. One says them. But you see, if you read it them, change it in your Bible to us. But if you read it them, it's not referring to us being part of the 24 elders, and therefore the church cannot be in heaven during that time. Do you get it? It's so subtle, but people that do not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture have used that error, and then they put, according to ancient manuscripts, and there's only one out of thousands that says them. The rest all say us. Now, whoever wrote that footnote is a liar, not a scholar. If they quote and say, according to ancient manuscripts, the majority say them. No. Because that will make us believe that they have done their research. And Pastor Hawking said he started to tell his church people that and pointed it out to them. And other Bible teachers heard about him, called him up and threatened him. Actually, were mean and were threatening. He won't mention their names. Probably people you know. Isn't that something? I'm trying to point this out to say, people, we're living in a great apostate period. Did you hear about the Methodist Seminary in California that was started way back in the 1800s sometime? But because of dwindling students, they decided to go into the future and have an interfaith seminary where it's Jewish Judaism, probably Rabbinic, not Levitic, Islam, and quote Christianity. And they're going to learn about each other's religion and kind of amalgamate things. And later on, once they get, they got $50 million already from some donor to do this. And they're going to add the Buddhist and the Hindu. Now here, listen to this. If you go to a Muslim-controlled country, you're not going to find interfaith. Get me? You go to a place where Hindus are in control, you're not going to find interfaith. Wherever these pagan religions have control, they do not want Christianity. Why? Because under Christianity, where true Christianity is in control, which it was in our country, you will find tolerance for other beliefs. As long as they don't undermine the country or people. Right?
Right.
This is why it's being used against us to throw out true Christianity and put everything else in. Right?
True.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn to Revelation 13, because we're going to be in 12. But I thought we'd take a look at the first part of that. You may have already made the change. Okay, so let me start reading at the beginning. We're talking about the dragon. And what does it say?
And I saw the beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. The 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head, blasphemy sin. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a leopard.
Okay, now stop. Okay. Who's the I? John. Who is standing by the side? The dragon, symbolizing
Satan.
And what did he have on his head?
10 horns and 7 heads.
He had 7 heads, first of all.
Yeah.
Right, so now we're into some science fiction thing, right? No. Heads symbolize. Yes, it could be. But authority. And they actually stand for the 7 great Gentile kingdoms. We know what those heads are. The head is what? Name the heads.
Empire.
Egypt.
Assyrians.
Assyrians.
Babylon.
Babylon. Medo-Persian.
Greek.
Roman. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What's his seventh head?
The Antichrist.
No, the one before that. The revived Roman Empire. That later becomes the eighth. The eighth head, which is the Antichrist, because he takes that over. And then the ninth is the one cut out of heaven. The big stone comes to crush the statue. Daniel 2. This is Daniel 2. Yeah, the Lord's kingdom, the millennium. Now, in Daniel 2, it starts with Nebuchadnezzar as the golden head because he is in power. But you go to other prophecies, and we'll talk about the previous two. The previous two. Do you remember in the Medo-Persian, you have this, which animal is it? The bear that has the three ribs in its mouth? Okay, what are those ribs? Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. So you got to put all this together, you won't get it. But the seventh head is the revived Roman Empire. At the time of this writing, the sixth head was in power. So if the dragon, being Satan, is standing on the shore, then who is he seeing coming out of the sea as a beast? We later get to know as the Antichrist. So it was a dragon that saw it. So I becomes he. It should say he saw, referring back to the dragon. This is just plain old English grammar. Right? It's referring back to the dragon. Pronouns refer to certain proper nouns, don't they?
Right. For sure.
Now, I'll tell you how gross it can get. When I was in administration back in Ohio, we had to review candidates for principalships and teachers, and I worked in a consortium office over 9 districts, and we had a lot of them. And you know, you read a lot of them, they get to look alike, but when you're a new student coming to be a teacher, you have to get a reference from a university professor and your student teaching supervisor. And I read this one. It talked about Mr. Jeff so-and-so, and then this and that and everything, and then as he did this and that, and then she. So I looked back and I thought, well, then it seems like it's male here, the name, then it was a he, now it's a she. Is he trying to tell me something? You know, I did. I thought, is this person wrote this trying to say this person is gay? I didn't know. This was way back in the 70s. So I called the person up and I said, do you have a copy of that reference you wrote? It's in his personnel file and every job he applies for is going to get sent out to him. He said, well, yeah. I said, well, let's read it. Oh. He said, no, I didn't mean that at all. He said, I write so many of them. And no, that's terrible. I said, well, you need to call him up and you need to find out every place he sent it to and have it retracted. You're going to have to write a letter of apology to the placement bureau there, and you're going to have to get them to contact all these school districts. So he'll never get a job, probably. You've destroyed his career. Now, what if I didn't do that? What if everybody just passed it off? Right? Anyway, so pronouns and that can make a difference, but it's he. Now, do you have the dragon in mind? About he is representative of Satan, but he's also those 7 kingdoms were going to be of the devil. Not of God. Right? Notice it didn't mention the U.S. in there. But those were the great Gentile kingdoms according to God. We're not talking about the Chinese and Genghis Khan and all that stuff. but it's all around the Mediterranean. Now, what did he have? Crowns around the what?
On the horns. So that would be the leaders?
Were the crowns on the heads?
Yeah.
Okay. So that symbolizes authority. And then their horns. How many horns? Well, why are there 10 horns? Why aren't there 7? One horn on each head. Can anyone tell me? Horns represent power. So where do the horns belong? You got to start thinking of the Antichrist, this beast coming out of the sea, because he's going to have some heads and crowns too.
Well, the Antichrist still comes from one of those horns.
You're close. He comes among... Yeah, you're right. He appears prophetically as a little horn coming up among how many of those 10? 3. He comes up among 3, plucks them up by the roots, that means takes them over by force. And so now the little horn is in control of 3 of those 10 horns. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the 7 give power to him. If you look at Hitler, and you know the rise of Hitler, it fits this perfectly. Because you see, he was a little horn, he came up, and he got control of, I don't know if it's 3, but different divisions of the country and people supporting him in the position he originally held, and brought prosperity out of the Depression. And eventually when he became the chancellor, then he abolished the parliament, right? Yeah, plucked them up by roots and so on. And then other people were giving him authority. So it's a similar kind of situation. So where do those 10 horns belong? On which head? They all belong on one head. On the 7th head. Right, on the 7th head. Not on Egypt. They're long gone. Not on Assyrians, they're long gone. Babylonians gone, Neo-Persians gone, the Greeks gone, Rome's gone, but the revived Rome is here today. It's called the EU. And in the EU, there are 10 divisions, 10 power structures, if you study how they have organized. And where is the capital of the EU? It's not London, it's not Paris, it's not Berlin. It's in Belgium called Brussels, right? It's Brussels. Have you ever looked at the Parliament building shape?
The what?
Parliament building shape. It's the Tower of Babel. Have you looked at the flag? The blue with the white stars, 12. It's the Babylonian. It's all out of Babylon. Have you looked at the state seal? It's the whore riding the beast. It's true.
Don't they have...
It's true. Who would ever think that they would pick those ugly symbols to be? And they've actually, one of the models they have is where Babylon failed, we will succeed. They're up against God because Babylon failed because, I'm talking about the tower now, not the country or the Nebuchadnezzar. I'm talking about back at the time after Noah's flood and they all gathered in Shinar there, which later became Babylon, but the Tower of Babel. God came and dispersed them through the languages because they didn't follow God by dispersing and going around the world, filling up the world, because where people congregate, they will turn from God and they'll develop all kinds of things. Right? But they actually are flying in the face of God by saying that they will succeed where Babel failed. Because it talks about one language. Right? One language, one nation. They say many languages, one nation. And the only thing that will unify them will be religion. That's why they need the second beast. Right? So those 10 horns are on the revived Roman Empire. And as we deal with chapter 12, we'll see how that plays in. So you need to know that. The Antichrist, by chapter 12, now gets empowered, possessed by the Satan. So those 7 heads, those 10 horns, and those 7 crowns all come into the Antichrist. He's given power by Satan. Right? And the going on in chapter 13, we see the second beast, which is the false prophet. Now notice the first beast comes out of the... What does it say?
Sea.
So it was a sea monster. No. The sea is symbolic of the great sea. I saw a sea referring to a multitude of people. The sea there represents the Mediterranean Sea, the Great Sea, the Salton Sea, the Sea of Galilee. If it's not named, it generally refers to a host of people and they're Gentiles. Gentiles. Those are 7 heads are Gentile. The whole world is Gentile except for one. Israel. The Gentiles have always been the majority. Right? Because everybody was a Gentile. Abraham was a Gentile. Right? And God called them out so that he could begin to develop a family and a nation to give us the Bible and the Messiah. It's the only ancient country still existing. What country has been revived and language revived? If you know how Israel got reborn, and you know how they decided on ancient Hebrew as their language, and they decided on the state symbol, the seal, and the flag. People wanted the menorah on the flag, not the Star of David, but the Bible says it will be the Star of David. And the menorah, the state seal. Everything the Bible has prophesied about Israel has come true. Right? It's the only nation that's out of history that's still here. Okay, now, that's an introduction to our study today. And we're going to look, if you go to your outline, we're going to be in war number 5, which is called the War in Heaven. And this is why I think this is probably the most sacred of all wars. Because it goes back to the very beginning. If you go back to Genesis, it opens with what? In the beginning, God, and what did God do?
Create.
He created. Now, I suggest you call up or get on the web and search out seminaries and find out how many believe in the literal creation. You'll find very, very few. That's how successful Satan has been. The greatest apostasy is through evolution. Evolution is the root of all this stuff. People are fighting abortion, homosexuality, and all these kinds of things, but it's all rooted in evolution. Now, if evolution is true, then what's wrong with whatever you want to do? Right? Who can say what's right and what's wrong? We can't. And that's what they're telling us today. Everything is relative. I said, well, okay, if it's so relative, do you like pain? No. Well, take this hammer and hit yourself on the head. Because really, It's not going to hurt. No. It might hurt me, but it won't hurt you. If you don't want it to hurt you, it's not going to hurt you. You know, just take this nice cup and drop it on the cement. Well, it won't break. It'll probably stay in midair and float down. There's no absolutes. If there wasn't something absolute, we wouldn't be able to sit down. We'd be floating, right? And they'll say this, there's nothing absolute, absolutely. You get it?
Yeah, that's a play on words.
That's absolute in itself. Okay. Everybody's looking at me like, what is he doing today? Okay. Now, in Revelation, chapter 6 begins the tribulation, and that began war number 3. But Revelation is not sequential. So as we read through 6, 7 does not follow. 7 is a flashback and forward. So the 144,000 were sealed at the beginning of the tribulation. So 7 comes right at the beginning of 6. But it's an encouragement because the end of it tells about they're going to be alive at the end of the tribulation. So it's a flash forward and a flash back. Part of it's forward, part of it's back. 8 and 9 follow 6. Remember? So we had in 6 the sealed judgments. How many of them? Think carefully.
6.
Because think of what Kitty was doing last week. She was looking for number 7 trumpet. Yeah, there are 6 judgments. The 7th seal opens the trumpets, and the trumpets are in chapters 8 and 9. Right? The seal in 6, 8 and 9 are the trumpet judgments.
Okay.
And the 7th trumpet we'll see today. And then we come to chapter 10, which somebody flowed into, but 10 actually belongs somewhere else. It belongs at the end. It's to encourage us. After all this horrible stuff going on, the reader is so shocked. Half of the people are dead by the end of chapter 9 that left on the earth. So then we move to 10. It gives an encouragement. And now we go to 11 because we want to get to 12. 11, it talks about the two witnesses. Well, they come at the beginning of the tribulation. So 7 and 11 go together. 7-11. They come right at beginning of 6. But what about the end of chapter 11? What's the end of chapter 11? The 7th trumpet. There was the 7th trumpet. Kitty, you didn't get far enough. Looking for old number 7. Okay, we find ourselves at the midpoint of the tribulation. Right? Half of the population has been killed by all these judgments. Judgment of God. The war of the Antichrist going on. Because remember now, he is trying to solidify his power to have control of the world. A lot of people are not going to submit to him without war. Europe is done peacefully and probably the Western world joining in. The nations around Israel are gone. The nations in the outer ring are gone, such as Russia, Iran, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, Sudan, Somalia. Right? And all those Russian allies south of Russia, Tajikistan and Turkey, and Gomer in that area too. Okay. So, as we begin our study today, we have to start with Trumpet 7. Somebody want to read Trumpet 7? It's, let's see, it's right here in my Bible. Verse 15 of 11, chapter 11.
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunders, and earthquake, and great hail.
Now this is probably complicated, right? Because what is it talking about? The kingdoms of? Have become? All right, so what is it saying? Put it in other words.
I'm talking about the millennial kingdom, is he not?
Yes, you're talking about the millennial, but we haven't even had the bowl judgments yet. You see where the context is? It's a flash forward again. It's an encouragement because of what's really going to happen. Because what's happened so far is bad enough, but what's about to happen, because now the war is going to come to Israel and the believers. This is where the Antichrist is going to go after the Jewish people and those who have become Christians, which will be Jew and Gentile. You follow that?
Yes.
Okay. But then it ends with something that fits right into the chronology. Then I saw what open?
Heaven.
Heaven. What in heaven?
The temple
of heaven. Now remember, I've talked about this before. The temple of heaven was very much like what other temple?
Solomon's
temple. Now don't say Herod's temple or the rebuilt temple. It's got to be Solomon's. They did not follow the exact plans of the Solomon temple for the other temples, did they?
No.
So when you start comparing temples on earth to that in heaven, you better go to Solomon's. And the description that he gave, who? King. What king got the directions? No, not Solomon. David. He gave the directions to David and then the command to build to Solomon. And he didn't have David build it because there was too much blood on his hands. Now, what blood was that? Was that the blood of Uriah? No. It was because he was a warrior. Right. Because his sins were forgiven, at least covered, till the cross. That make sense? Okay. Now, notice it says that they were opened, and what was seen once the temple was opened?
The ark.
Now, wait. What does it say before the ark? Before the word ark? In your Bible. Is it his ark? The ark?
The ark of his covenant.
I'm going to check my Bible. Okay, where is this? Where is it? Okay. And it's in whose temple? His, right. Okay, God is in three persons, but now let's divide them up so we can understand. He gave us himself in three persons so we can understand things. So the temple in heaven is who? Who is the head of the temple in heaven?
God
the Father. Okay. Now, there's the outer part. Where do we put the Holy of Holies with the inner court? Connected to one of the sides or right in here? Okay, right here. Yes, and then you have that. So the outer court was all the way around, but it was sort of set a little bit to the back. And so the outer court is called the court of the Gentiles sometimes, because they could come in there, right? This is why once Paul became a believer, remember he went to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost? Right, he was in here, but they were upset because he was in there. This is the inner court where the priests would receive from them the sacrifice and do the sacrificing, and then this is the Holy of Holies. Now, the Holy of Holies is really important because that is the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And you have the gold lid on this, and then built into that were these two angels, cherubim, and they were looking down on this lid of the ark. Now that lid is called something. What is it? It's called the mercy seat. All right, now these angels are angels of what? What are they, positive or negative? They're negative. They're angels of judgment. They are angels of judgment. And they're looking at the mercy seat. And only will sin be covered if what is on that mercy seat? Blood. And when is that taken care of? Every day? No. No, the Holy Holies are entered one time a year. This is very important. We always think of lambs being used for sacrifice, but we talk about the scapegoat. This is where it comes from. The two goat sacrifice. It's what it's about. Okay, go back to the seven feasts. We have Passover with 1, 2, 3, 4. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. In the center is Pentecost, number 4. And I say that because it's an umbrella, because it's a season. This is called Pentecost, and the first feast is Pentecost. Alright, 5, 6, and 7. The last feast is where it gets the name of the season. It's Tabernacles, so it's the season of Tabernacles. But here we have trumpets, atonement, and then Tabernacles. Okay, a trumpet. Trumpets were used to announce. We have the trumpets right here, used to announce. We have Gabriel's the trumpet of God. The trumpet's used in Thessalonians when we're going to have the rapture. The trumpet's used when the Lord's coming on the last day of the tribulation, right? 1 Corinthians 15:51, at the last trump, referring to those dead in Christ and alive, you know, the rapture. It's referring to rapture. Rapture is not only Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Okay, now, these feasts are all fulfilled, 1 through 4. Jesus already fulfilled them, right? By sending the Holy Spirit, and it's the two loaves of bread. You got to study the whole bread thing. One's the Gentiles, one's the Jews. Both are leavened, and someday they will be combined. That's one of the great mysteries of the Old Testament. There are two mysteries in the Old Testament. But mysteries mean something veiled that can't be seen that will be revealed. But if you have discernment during the Old Testament time, you could discern them. Because Abraham was told by the, remember the priest from Salem, Melchizedek? He told Abraham that someday the Gentiles are going to come in to your family. And that's what the Feast of Pentecost is about. It's not about speaking in tongues and laying people out and flattening them down and all that Pentecostal stuff. If you really get into it, a lot of those people get so heavy into that that they forget the point of Pentecost according to the Bible, where the nation of Israel is where we get all our blessing. All the covenants were given to Israel, not to the Gentiles. No covenant was given to you as a Gentile. And you get all your blessings because you come into the church, which is the result of the two loaves being merged. No, neither Jew, neither Greek, neither one is better than the other in Christ. Right? And so the church is the combining of these, but it's called the new bread in the Bible. And when Jesus came out of the tomb in his glorified body, he was called new bread, not unleavened bread. See, he became leavened. He came into the world unleavened, without sin. On the cross, he became leavened in our behalf, and so therefore he died. And when he came out of the tomb, he wasn't stripped off of the sin. You get it? He wasn't, because he didn't need forgiveness. That's why he had to come in the flesh like us, but he didn't come out. He came out as God in the glorified body. You get it? New bread. And that's the new bread we're going to have. But we can't have the new bread now because we still have the capacity to sin, even though our sins are forgiven. See, that's what this is all about. Okay, so what is trumpets today? Rosh Hashanah. Happy New Year! That's a false. That is a rabbinic interpretation of the Feast of Trumpets. That's not God's. That's not God. It's a trumpet of warning. How is that feast going to be fulfilled? It's going to be fulfilled right here in the Bible as we're studying right now. It's a trumpet preparing the nation of Israel during the tribulation that the Messiah is soon to come. And so therefore, the atonement, I'm talking about the fulfillment. Now I'll go back later and talk about how it's was to be practiced before fulfillment. But so now, what do you have? If it took place one day a year in the Holy of Holies, but now we see that the Holy of Holies in the temple in heaven is opened. How can it be opened when Satan has access to heaven? Remember I talked about the veil? The veil in the temple? There's a veil in heaven because Satan has access to heaven and he's our accuser. That's why it has to be protected. He doesn't have access to the Father or he would drop dead. His battle is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm leading up to with this whole thing here. So it's talking about the wine press that's going to be stomped out in the Valley of Armageddon, the Day of Atonement, when the final judgment comes. And Israel, the remnant, is delivered. Then they can celebrate, and Tabernacles is celebrating. It's a time that's called Sukkot, or the Feast of Booths, where they go out in the backyard and they build a little booth, and they live basically, and they do a lot of fellowshipping in the family and with the neighbors and have food and all those things. So when Christians are having a fellowship thing, or that is tabernacling. And so our tabernacling is more important with God. They'll be having perfect fellowship with God, their Messiah. This is for the nation of Israel. This is for the nation of Israel. This is for the nation of Israel coming into being the church. Right? This is for the people left over who didn't get into the church that goes through the tribulation. I hope you understand that. This whole thing of the tribulation and the millennium is for the Jews, predominantly. God fulfilling his plan for the Jews that got interrupted at the cross. Because the Jewish leaders did not accept Jesus Christ. The Jewish people did. We wouldn't have a church if they didn't. I get so sick of these Gentiles trying to steal the church away from the Jews. It's a Jewish thing. It's always been and it always will be. And I grew up where it was falsified. The greatest persecutors of the Jews have been people who have claimed the cross. Claimed the cross. The Crusades of Europe was the crusade of Satan, not the church, the true church. No way. Okay, that's how it'll be fulfilled. Now, let's go to how it operates today. They would blow a trumpet in Zion to alert the people that the Day of Atonement was coming. Because on the Day of Atonement, it was for the nation. Because God was going to atone, take care of the sins of the nation. And then the individuals had to take care of their own sacrifice. But the nation was being atoned for. So two goats were brought forward that were without blemish, identical goats. And on the one goat, the high priest would lay his hands and would be symbolically placing all the sin of the nation of Israel upon that goat. Then they would send that goat out into the desert, never to be found or to be dealt with again. And that is what we call the escape goat. He carried away their sins outside the city gate. Get it? Jesus fulfilled this. How did he fulfill it?
They crucified outside the city gate.
Yes, and that, but that's the second goat now. The crucifixion, that goat dies. That's true. That's okay. That's, you're right. This is hard to explain because you've got to have half of one part of the goat dealing with the crucifixion and the other goat dealing with it. But that's right. That shows it was done outside the city because he wasn't accepted. Okay? But he was also crucified by which group? The Jews or the Gentiles? The Gentiles. So that's why it's outside the city also. The sins, what does it talk about our sins? They are what? Remembered no more. And how far away are they? From the east to the west. Now it's not speaking Los Angeles and New York. The depths of the sea, and they're on his back right up here. Now God could see back there, of course, because he's all seeing and all knowing, but we can't without a mirror. Well, I was just trying to say they're out of sight, they're out of my mind. That's what that goat represents. The other goat was brought in and was killed, and the blood carried in by the high priest through this veil with a robe with bells on the bottom, so if he died in there, they could hear the bells weren't ringing, and they had a rope around one of his ankles, so they'd pull him out, because they weren't going to go in there. Right? And he was consecrated to go before God, because literally the Shekinah glory of God, which is the physical, spiritual presence of God, presided there on the mercy seat. But God hadn't gone to the cross yet. And so by him placing blood on that mercy seat, these angels looking at that blood, because if angels carry out the wrath of God, right? They then would be satisfied. That makes sense? Now we got to carry this into the cross. Satisfied. Atoned for. Mercy. Now, where do we see that in our salvation? There are two parts of salvation, and one is Jesus died for all, yes, and all, no. It's the same thing here. the whole nation was covered, but not every individual, unless they then in turn offered their sacrifice to deal with their sins. You get it? The mercy seat sanctification is propitiation. Propitiation is the fulfillment of this. This is the precursor, and the literal fulfillment on the cross is propitiated. John 3:16 is propitiation. Jesus died for the whole world, the nation of Israel, but not all the people unless they are redeemed. They have to be redeemed. And that's an individual thing, not a group thing. You get it? The high priest made it possible for those people's sins to be covered because the nation of Israel was covered by God. But the individuals had to follow then by their own sacrifice and confession. It's the same thing in the New Testament. It was all presented here by God. When Jesus was on the cross at noon, and he said, God the Father, why have you forsaken me? That's when he became sin, leaven. Then what? Well, then all those horrible things began to happen, and eventually he said, it is finished. And when he said, it is finished, he meant the sacrificial law was fulfilled, the forgiveness of sins, all taken care of. Then later he dies, but at that point, the curtain was torn. Not when he died, when he said, it is finished. Boom, there goes the curtain. From God to man, top to bottom, in the temple, that curtain symbolized the flesh of Jesus Christ. This is very important, you won't get where I'm going to go right next. That's symbolic and literal at the same time. And has spiritual meaning. So when the flesh died because of the sin, that meant that this mercy seat, there was not needed. It was open to all. We don't need to have a priest doing something to propitiate for us. Then we can then do our sacrifice to God. Jesus did it. God satisfied. Now is propitiated forever. Forever and ever. Right? Once and for all. But redemption must take place individually. Does that make sense? Okay. So now, that curtain in heaven is closed. When the temple curtain in Jerusalem was torn, this wasn't opened in heaven. No, because Satan existed a long time before. So, what happened after Jesus rose? It talks about this in Ephesians, that the resurrected flesh of Jesus, the glorified flesh, Christ, becomes the veil. Now this is very important, or you'll never understand Ephesians. Because of that, we as a believer who have been redeemed, but still we have a soul that can sin, we can spiritually have access to the Holy of Holies in heaven. We can pass through that veil because it's Jesus Christ. And you can find the depth of the mind of God. You can understand His Word more and more because He'll teach you. Isn't that exciting? So now in Revelation, and I think it's break time, so I'll stop a little bit here. All right, but I want to make the transition so we can pick it up. It's going to be open. And it's going to be open for one reason. What is it? And we can see Him. The people reading this could see in. And if this were literally at this time in history, remember this is history forward, but we're getting close, but let's say we were, this is really happening in the world, we know what's about to happen. Satan is going to enter heaven for the last time. That's why we read all this in chapter 11, all this exciting going on. Because the people realize that Satan was done for. They've seen it. Those of us in heaven are going to see it. We're going to be so excited that the end is coming when the kingdoms of the earth will be his kingdom. And our kingdom. Get it? Isn't that exciting? So he gives that flash forward to that. And he says, look here, you can see the ark in my temple. I wonder if there's something in that ark. I don't know. I'm not going to go and speculate there. But I wouldn't be surprised. That's why you can't find the ark and the earth. They might have been combined. I don't know. So is it break time? Okay. And we're going to do after break time. Now we're going to go and we're going to take a big look at Satan. See where he came from and what he's up to. And then we'll understand this war. Amen.
I didn't get the handout last week. I wasn't here.
Well, it's the same one as before.
Okay, this is what I wanted to find out.
Same handout as before.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not going to give a new one every week. Okay.
Yeah. Vehicles are marked 666,
366. On something vehicle?
On the UN vehicles, they have them all marked.
You're kidding.
No.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, that shows you. It ties in with what you were saying.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It is. It's just... The UN vehicle. What you got today? Been baking again? Oh, you stopped down at the store. What are those? Dates?
Cherry strudel.
Oh!
You know, there's cherries.
The last recycling of paper.
Yeah.
I was in Poland for a short period of time attending a international conference. And I looked around at various things, of course, and I could see that everything was recycled.
Mm-hmm.
Sure
is.
The last recycling was toilet paper. It had all this garbage in it. And it looked like the very last year.